Okay, good morning. We're Masechet Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We ended off yesterday on Kuf Yud Bet at the bottom. So basically, we had the question of Rav Mari Bar Rachel, right? Imnachle Basar Shchute Bahare Basar Trefe. He salted the meat together, right? Trefe and kosher meat together. Came to Rav and asked Rav, is it okay? And Rav answered him with a pasuk. He said, Hatmeim, right? And he quoted the pasuk and he said that hey, Yatera there. The pasuk could have said, Ele tmeim lachem, b'kol asheret. These are tamei. Why did it say hatmeim? It said lesor tziran berotvan v'kippah shlehen, to include all their gravies and their rotev and their kippah, all the leftover food cooked around the corners, etc., etc. And Rashi says, v'kevan de tzarich asur mitasar abasar ashachut machmat tzir ha-treifa. It says, from here we learn the tzir, because of the tzir, that's the chidush. The chidush has the tzir, not the blood, right? Remember, what we're saying is that once the blood stops going out, remember, this is the principle, that so long as the meat is busy exuding blood, poletam, so it's tarud livloa, remember? It's too busy getting rid of stuff to getting new stuff, but the tzir carries on long afterwards. So he said, even once the blood has stopped flowing, then the tzir, that mohal, that gravy, that like liquid stuff that comes out of the meat, that will then trafe the kosher meat. That was basically Rava's answer, right? It's easier for the meat to absorb that than the blood. Okay, that's not idea yet. It's tarud, therefore it can't do it, but this is Noach, it stops, etc., etc. That's the point. We mentioned also that yesterday's stuff was important. Amud Bet was Maaseh Derashi, which we won't speak about anymore. Now, the Gemara says like this. So he came to Rava. Right, that was Rava's answer. Now, just quickly worth mentioning that Rav Mari Bar Rachel, I said it again yesterday. That's Shmuel's grandson, right? Remember? Because we said Rachel was Shmuel's daughter and she had been captured and taken amongst the Goyim and she was, raped, whatever. And then she married the guy. Remember that whole story? And that's... No, Shmuel's Marta. Daughter. Marta. This is Shmuel's daughter was Rachel.
I know.
This is Shmuel. This is Shmuel's daughter. I think. I mean, I'm just from memory. Okay. There was a note there. I don't know. See that, but I mean, maybe Marta. Okay. So now, Rav, the Gemara says like this, right? Why did he answer him with that hatmeim? It says, "Velei melein." Rava could have just said to Rav Rami, "Mida Shmuel," right? Answer him like Shmuel, right? In words, what Shmuel's vote? Ama Shmuel, maliach areu kunoteach, v'kavush areu kumavushal. And therefore, when you salted this kreif meat and this kosher meat together, it was melicha keraticha. And therefore, you cook them together. And it was treifas and shchutas, it's cooked together. Why do I have to go through this whole vort of hatmeah? It was like cooking meat and kosher meat and trap meat together. Anybody got it? If you cooked here in your pot at home, a piece of trap meat, a piece of shchutas meat, you wouldn't come to Rabbi and say, can I eat it? I think we pushed anybody over here that it was cooked together, therefore it's gaman. That's what I think. And that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, no, it wouldn't be so simple. Why? If it was from Shmuel's Melicha Kretich or Kavush is a Pavushal, Hava Amina Hani Midi Daman. Would have said that applies to the dam. When do we say that? What's the Bishon of Yad? The Melicha is Kreticha, the salting, right? Aval Tziran Verotvan Lo. Would have said, once it was ready, and we would have said the Kretich is like Melicha, but not the gravy or the Rotev or the Moa. That wouldn't trafe it. So the bigger chiddush over here. Not only does the blood make a trafe, even this later stage of liquids that run out make a trafe. Kamash Mulan, that's why. Look at Rashi here. Hanimi daman. Hanimi lagabe dam. That's what all dam ukagon be klisha menukav. If you stuck them together in a klisha menukav and the blood couldn't roll off, then we'd say that they were cooking in each other's blood. The butter, the pala, tala butter, because once it had finished palita, it now absorbed. Right, we'd say that. We'd say then it would have been asked with a question about Siran. Zayu, velomitas, it's a stam like a liquid, it doesn't need to do anything. Dam like a michash. It wouldn't have said that he has dams upon a walk, because this is a klimanukav. We assume klimanukav. We would say dam mishak sharik, the blood's gone, didn't even stick around. Right? So he says menukavu, imkain kshaira, the kshaira nami. Therefore the Gemara said, Kamash Malan the tzir, asur, the tzir noach li balahu. It was a big chidush. From Shmuel, we would have just learned about blood. This is more than blood. It's a cliche in a manukav. Would have been a problem. It's a cliche manukav. Therefore, it went holes in the cliche. The blood ran off. There was no problem there whatsoever. And we wouldn't have even had a half a minute to think that the tzir and the mohar would have been able to trade for it. After it comes along, Rava. So we see the Rava's answer wasn't such a bad answer. Okay, that's clear, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, now, Gemara says, Akasha, Maitiv, we have Akasha before a brighter. Dag tahor, shemalchu im dag tameh, mutar. Right? You take kosher fish, a kosher fish, and you salt it together with a non-kosher fish, a tameh fish. The brighter says, mutar. It's mutar. Now, why is it mutar? My love, shayu shnehem meluchin. I was speaking about a case where we salted them both. Right? And therefore, what do we see over here? Look at Rashi. V'shma mina tzir nami lo mivla kolz man sh'asukim b'plita. What do we just say over here? This proof a second ago with the hatmaim was, with chilush was the tzir. We said tzir noach libala, right? In other words, the blood is tarud, and everybody's doing that, but the tzir is okay. How we see you can salt two fish together. And the fish as well, there's salt, there's blood, and then afterwards comes the mohel. Now this we see that it's together and it's kosher. Why is it kosher? Right? So Rashi says, Lo mivla kolz man sh'asukim b'plita, v'shma mina tziran muta, and Rashi takes out the tziran muta. Right? Lo mivla kolz man sh'asukim b'plita. So we see even the tzir also doesn't get absorbed while the blood's busy absorbing. So why? Previously, with that case of Rava, we said the tzir shouldn't have been a problem. The blood's busy coming out, plita blood, the animal's tarud, the meat's tarud, it can't even boleya the tzir. That's a gross kashuk. We said, no. We're not, your assumption here, the brighter was, that both fish were being salted, one was a tamay, they were both being salted. That wasn't why it was kosher. That's not why. Kagon shayah tahor maliach v'tamei tafel. What was happening here really was that the kosher fish, the tahor fish, that was salted. And that was busy pushing out blood. The tamay wasn't even salted. Right? It never had melach. Rashi says over here, tafel mibli melach. Tahashtelo palit tamay midi. The tamay wasn't doing anything. There was no salt on it to cause it to start polet blood or polet sir, was just sitting there.
Well, they were touching each other.
Even they were touching each other, it doesn't matter. It was doing nothing. The salt was all on the fish, the kosher fish.
But they were touching each other and there was fish on the
No, but the kosher, listen, the kosher fish had salt on it only. And the salt was absorbed into the fish and that now caused the fish to exude the blood. While that kosher fish is busy exuding the blood, it's too, and there's nothing coming out of the non-kosher fish, there's nothing for it to absorb. Why do you say no?
No, because if the two fish, if the fish are touching, there's another problem. If they are touching, then the non-kosher fish is touching the salt on the kosher
fish. So now it becomes kosher. I don't understand.
Blood.
No. I think the assumption, that's what I said, I think that the assumption is that the fish has absorbed all the salt. There's no longer salt left on the fish for anything. The fish has absorbed the salt. Now the salt is busy working on the fish. Now the blood's coming out of the fish. The fish is busy, very busy, actively exuding blood. It's not, and there's nothing from the tame fish coming out. Right. So there's nothing for it to absorb. So that's why. That's the one thing. I think that's it. That seems to be pshat over here. It says, Rashi, mibli melach, ta'ashtu lo pali tameh midi. The tameh's not doing anything. Aval shnehem meluchim. If they were both salted, the tameh nami pali, that's also being palit asur, then it would definitely be asur, like what you're saying, David, and the kosher came tameh maliach. And much more so, if it was the tameh fish that was salted and the tower fish that wasn't salted, then the tameh fish would be busy pumping out stuff. It would definitely land on the tower fish, would be absorbed and make it into a tameh. So basically, we can't prove from this braita over here at the moment anything about the tzir to try and refute the way that we just solved Rava's answer. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Let's look at the safe on this brighter, because maybe it's not right. You're telling us that the Rashi is talking about when the Tahor was Maluach and the Tameh was Tafel, had nothing on it. But Ha Militani say, look at the safe now. It says there the Bach basically takes out Avalim and leaves in Hayat Tahor Maliach with Tameh Tafel. But you're going to change that second bracket from Avalim and then there's no brackets after anymore. So Hayat Tahor Maliach with Tameh Tafel. The safe says, the Sefer is talking about a case where the kosher fish was salted and the non-kosher fish wasn't salted. So why would the Reisha and the Sefer be talking about the same thing? Michlal, says the Gemara, the Reisha b'shnehem eluchin askinan. That we are talking about a case in the beginning when they were both salted. Not like you telling me now it was the only the Tameh bird wasn't salted, the Tahor bird was salted. No. So what's it? No, you got it wrong. Perusha kemefaresh. We've listened before plenty of times, type of answer. The Gemara says, no. The same face is explaining the Reisha. The Reisha is saying like this. Tahor shemalcho im dag tamei mutar. If you have a non-kosher fish and a kosher fish together, you sold them together, they're mutar. How could it be? Shaya tahor maliach v'tamei tafel. That's why. So the Reisha and the Sefer aren't two different cases. The Reisha is supposed to be explained in the Sefer. So we're back to where we started. And the Gemara says, you know what? Hachem is starting. It even makes sense to say that. Why? Because look, it's almost like a kosher case. Rashi really alluded to that in early on, right? Because he says, like this, if you're going to think that the Reisha is talking about a case where both of them are salted, and Hashta Shnehem Meluchim Shari, and when they're both salted, the Reisha says it's kosher. What? Tahor Maliach. If the Tahor, the kosher fish, is salted, V'tame Tafel Mibai, do we have to have even discuss that one? It's Pashut! When they both salted as kosher, if in our Havamina, which we see now is not true, if they were both salted as kosher, then obviously if the Tameh is not salted and the Tahor is salted, it should definitely be kosher. So there's no chidush in that for the Brayta to even mention this, the Sefer to be separate. In other words, if the ratio was Shnehem, and then we don't need a Sefer to say Tahor Maliach, Tahor Tafel. Clear? That's the words that make no sense. So it's obvious that it's like we said, it's a Hadakah Mefaresh. Then we explained the Sefer, we said, how can it be? And then we said, what is the case? We're talking about a case where the Tahor is Maluach and the. Okay, clear? Anna? Okay. The Gemara said, no, not so quickly. Imishumalo area. What's the Chidush here? There's no great story over here. Tana Sefer Legaluye Reisha. He says, no, we can explain this very differently. That the Sefer actually comes not to explain the Reisha like you wanted to say, but to expose the Reisha, so to speak, right? To make the halacha more clear. Because why? The law tamer don't say Reisha tahor maliach v'tamei tafel. Don't come to the conclusion that if the tahor is maliach, is salted, and the non-kosher fish is not salted, that is when it's kosher. Aval shnehem meluchin asur. And then what would you say? You'd say, if the chidush in the reisha is that only when the kosher fish is salted and the non-kosher fish is non-salted, that's when if you do it together, that together it becomes, stays kosher. But if they were both salted together, it would definitely become asur. No, don't. We don't want you to arrive at that conclusion. Therefore, tana sefer tahor maliach v'tamei tafel. That's why the sefer said tahor. At the end of the mission is discussing when the non-kosher bird is fish has got no salt in it and the kosher fish has got salt in it. Why? To tell us Michlal Dereisha Shnein Meluchin Vafulachi Shari. A bigger chidush. In other words, the Sefer tells us that when the salt of the kosher fish is salted and the non-kosher fish is non-salted, it's kosher. Right? Therefore, that we need to know. We learn from that, even if they're both together, it's also kosher. I think that's what's going on over here, right? Anybody got anything different to say? Yes, okay, I think that's fine. Huh?
From
Pratu
to
Klal. No, Pratu to Klal, okay.
From Klal to Shari.
Okay. So basically, we could really learn, what the Gemara is saying is that you haven't got any proof at the moment to help me with regards to Rava. Because Rava came along and said, Hatmeya. We said, why don't you just prove from Shmuel, right? And we said that we learned from Shmuel. And we couldn't learn from Shmuel because if we learned it from Shmuel, we would have said only blood and not tzir. So we said, well, then we've got this case of the fish where we see that even the tzir here is a problem, only blood. And we're back and forth in the brighter now to actually prove that the brighter doesn't really help us at this stage to do anything. Because we could expand the brighter to the ratio to be both, or the ratio and the safer to be one of each other. Or we can explain the bride to say, no, the bride is only discussing when the tahor is maliach and the tameh is tafel. Right? That's really what we're up to now. So we can't prove from this anything about tzir. Because it could be about the blood. Right? I think that's what we're holding at the moment. So it was, okay, we'll toshma mi sefer de sefer. Let's now bring obviously we said ratio safe in this bride which we quoted. This bride, I don't know where the bride actually came from. That's the truth. There's no Makoria. Anybody know where this brighter came from? There's no Mishra Shas on this Meitiva here or on anything. So I don't know where it came from. But in this brighter, it was the Reisha. We said Shnehem, Mutar. Then we said Maliach, and the Tahor is Maliach, and the Tameh is Tafel. And we said, we two ways of expanding the Reisha and the Sefer. Now it appears that there's a third line in that brighter. Okay, and that's the Sefer de Sefer. Okay, I wasn't sure whether it was a fish. I think that's what it means. So Toshma Misafer the Sefer. What's the end of the bright to say? Aval im haya tamei maliach v'tahor tafel asur. Basically, the brighter went like this. The brighter started off and said, "Dag tahor shemalcho im dag tamei mutar." Right, so a fish that you salt together with a non-kosher fish is kosher, is mutar. And then we said, "Tahor maliach and tamei tafel kosher." And now we're saying tamei maliach. And tahor tafel, hudasu. Okay? So if the tamei is maliach, and that's the one that's called, that would be asu. So the Gemara now wants to say, from the safe, from the safer to the safer, ha, shnei, meluchin, shari. Ah, so what do we learn from that? That if the dag tahor is tafel, and the dag tamei is maliach, then it's asu. Ah, if they were together, it would be okay. All right? It would be okay. And that's like Rava. That's basically back to square one of Rava. Why did we say that? Because they were both tahor, if they were both salted together, then we said at the very, very beginning that it was the tzir. So Gemara says, no, I can't do anything. I did a taneresha, it's just a syntax type of style. There's no halacha, you can't read the Arab. I did a taneresha, tahor maliach v'tame tafel, tame nami sefer tame maliach v'tahor tafel. Can't read from this brighter whatsoever. Can't learn michlal from that backwards. The brother started off and said, tamei, tahor maliach, it's also tamei maliach. But really, we can't learn either way what's what. So this brighter can't help us at all to doche the way that Rabbi explained the answer to Rabbi Mari Bararacha. Okay, now the Gemara brings the siman of Bishra, demanach nefkuta. And now, there's like three halachas here of Shmuel and a couple other halachas that just quickly till the end of the Mishnah. That come across with regards to all. Amar Shmuel, ena basar yotzei midei damo, elim kein molcho yafe yafe umedicho yafe yafe. Okay, you have to salt it nicely. Ira's getting throwbacks now. He's being all nostalgic to his Easter vehicle. Okay, right. You have to salt it very nicely and you have to wash it very nicely. Okay, that's molcho yafe yafe umedicho yafe yafe. Rav Huna machlok namuraim, itmar. Rav Huna amar moleach umediach. Rav Huna says, but you got to first salt it and then wash it. But matnita, we got a brighter, however, that says, Tana, mediach, first you wash it, umoleach, umediach. There's a wash, salt, wash. And who was that? Rav Huna said just salt, wash. And the words, you know what? Velo pligi. What? It wasn't Shmuel, it was Rav Huna. Shmuel said, "Ein abasu tem lep damo ele im kei molcho yafe yafe." Then it's itmar. Rav Huna amar molech umediach, but nita tana umediach molmocho. Right? Umediach v'lo. And there's no palig. There's no machlok between them. Ha de chalei beitabcha, ha de lo chalei beitabcha. Depends if he already washed once before, already after being shechted at the butcher, the shechet. If he had washed it already once, you just have to salt it and wash it. If he hadn't washed it already down once, you've got to do the washing and the salting once. But basically, everybody agrees he has to have washing beforehand and the salting, and then you wash it afterwards. Rav Huna mina har demalach lei b'milcha galalnita. So he would salt it. Rashi says, yeah, milcha galalnita. Right at the beginning of Rashi, we haven't gone before. Rashi, melach gasa, like very coarse salt. Umenapetzla, and he would crush it up, I think. That's what it means.
Kosher salt. Every
kosher, really, yeah. Is that cool? Kosher salt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even goyim call it kosher salt.
Yeah, everyone uses that
kosher
term.
Container, kosher salt.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, in America, salt. Like how you buy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, everyone uses that. Recipes use kosher salt.
Oh, wow, huh? Yeah. I've never seen that, right? So, umenapitzle, and he would crush it up. Right, he would look at Rashi, umenapitzle, lemilche lacharzman, lesha adam niflaba, because the blood gets sucked into it. Aval melach daka, if you're using fine salt, ain't sarich in a pet, you have to crush it. She nitechet me'atzma. Basically, it gets dissolved on its own. The blood eventually just dissolves the salt. But if it's coarse salt, so you have salt there with blood inside it, it's a problem because it's basically asu blood, so you would crush it up. Amar Rav Meshashia, new halacha. Rav Meshashia says, ain machzikin dam bivnei me'ayim.
The source for salting is not Torah, it's just a practical implementation by the rabbis.
Good
to
question.
Take the blood out?
Yeah, I think so.
Take the blood out, yeah.
No, but what Robert's saying is that the rabbis decided that it works.
Right.
If there was another way to do it, could we do it in another way? That's your question, right? Or is it dafka salt?
Right.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. We haven't seen that in the Gemara yet. I mean, there's no... But all the korbanot, melach timlach.
For different purpose.
For different purpose, yeah.
But look, yeah,
we saw, there's a good point. Steve wrote, like, yeah, there's a good, we could grill the meat and the blood covers. You don't have to salt it. In other words, yeah, so salting seems to not be the only solution there. That's the, yeah, I'd say probably it just that works, just really works, right? I don't know if Rav Drum Potash was listening, maybe often when he hears something in the shiur, he sends me a WhatsApp later on in the day just telling me something, and maybe he'll come with a halacha. Okay, let's see. All right. Tirgema. So the Gemara explains that. What does it mean? Ein machzikin dam b'vnei me'ayim. Look at Rashi. The ein machzikin dam b'vnei me'ayim. He says einan b'cheska dam le'aser im lo nimlacho. So basically, if you salted the animal, but you never got into the innards with salt, so there we're saying it seems to be okay. We don't have to worry too much about that. Because we assume there's no blood over there. And the Gemara explains. Well, what are we talking about specifically? Tirgema arkaksha u'me'aya. Rashi explains, yeah, but I'd be happy with somebody giving me an English translation. Rashi says, yeah, Arkaksha, although yeah, he says, Karkaksha Tavchaya. Well, give me a translation
the
there. Rectum. The rectum, okay. Aval Halev, Vahareya, says Rashi, with the heart and the lungs, Vahkaver and the liver, Vahkante Gufa, right, and probably the I don't know what, Yeshbeim Dam, Vachichim the Milcha, right? That's the ma'aya of a hadrada kanta. That's the dakin shesaviva kanta, right? That is the, I don't know, like the very narrow parts. I don't know, what is a hadrada kanta? What is that?
Kanta is the fatty part of the bowel.
Fatty part of the bowel, okay.
This is digestive system.
So the digestive system, right. Okay, so that area over there, we've got a chazoka that isn't really any blood over there. Okay, I'm a Shmuel. At the second aloch of Shmuel. Ein menichin basa maliach el agabe kli menuka. We saw this yesterday, right? That you can only leave salt, the blood that's busy being salted, on a kli that's got holes in it that the blood can drain off. Rav Sheshet malach le garma garma. Rav Sheshet used to salt each piece one by one. The Gemara says, trey ma time lo, why don't you do more than one at a time? Right? Mishum de parish mehai ubalaha. Was he concerned that blood would go from one piece into the other piece? But if that's the case, what's the idea? Chad nami parish mehai gisu ubalaha gisu. If you're doing one piece of meat, it can go from this side of the meat to that side of the meat. The blood can leave here and be absorbed here. So what do we really benefit from the Gemara says? No. In a loshna, it makes the difference. That's not really the reason. Rashi says, loshna or mutar, you can do more than one together. But time can push an L. The chos man should truly be flot and bolin, because while the blood's busy exuding, it doesn't absorb. When the one piece of blood starts resting, the other ones are starting to rest, and then we've got their problem. There's a short tosfot here. If you look at loshna, umutar b'chol inyan. You can salt whatever you want. Even if you put the first one on top of the other one, and you did them in a different order, makes the difference. We're assuming that basically the next 18 minutes or so, all this blood is going to get rid of it. All this blood is going to work out. And from then, it was just mola. We saw it was just mochal, and it wasn't a problem with blood. This is interesting. I look at this. If you break the neck, right, of the animal, kodem shetetzei nafsha, before it's actually, after you shechted it, but before all the blood, now you shecht the animal like it's a lot of blood leaves, and that's, then we learned that in Zvachim also, that there was like different kind of, with the first blood that came out, and the second bit of blood was, that was the nefesh, and then it became blackened, and then the rest of the blood ran out afterwards. So I said, in one of those stages, haray zeh, look at this, machbidin abasa, you're causing the blood to become heavier. Why are you calling it, huh? The meat to become heavier. The gozeret abriut. Now you're going to steal it from people because you're going to sell this meat afterwards by the scale, and the blood has been trapped inside the animal, and the meat is now full of blood, and therefore they're not really buying meat. It's like, you know, in the modern days they got around it. They just inject the meat with chemicals or with water, you know, right? Umavliya dam be'avarim, and therefore you force blood to go into the avarim. Look at Rashi here quickly. While it's at the shechita stage, the body is pumping out blood. The body, through the stress of this cracking, right, can't now pump out blood in a comfortable manner. And the blood basically stays inside. It's like a massive internal bleeding type of situation. ומחביר הבשר, and you make the meat becomes heavier. ונמצא גודל הבריאות, כשהוא מוכר במשקל ואדם שוקל. Instead of a weight in the meat, basically it's weighing more because of the blood inside. Right? So that's what Shmuel said to Rabbi Chiya. So, Ibai Elehu, Heichi Kamar, when we said over here, מחביר הבשר וגודל הבריאות, that you're making the meat heavy, and you're stealing from people, is it משום דמבלי אדם, is that, when we said there are three things, we said you're making the blood heavy, you're stealing from the briot, and מבלי אדם, you're pushing blood into the limbs. His question is here, is it because you're pushing blood into the limbs? Ha ha, לדירי שפיר דמי, but if it's for himself, right? Look at Rashi Haladita, the like the man Mishum Gzaila Shari Lefisha who Jose Yotza Damelach. The guy himself, let's say now I want to sell this meat. I shechted this animal and I did this whatever case, but I'm keeping it for myself. So I'm not stealing from anybody. Because anyhow it's for me, I'm not paying myself. And anyhow when I sold it, the blood's gonna come out. So is it mutar, right? And it was only if I'm sending it's a problem. Or Dilma Ladina Asur. Maybe for him it's also Asur, because we're not talking about the stealing only, right? Because I don't think that stealing is okay, but yeah, there's no stealing. I'm going to fish you because I'm going to salt the blood anyhow, and it's going to get out. So what do I care if the blood was in there? Gemara answers with the taiku. All right. New Mishnah. Amale etaofim agvina ala shuchan. So now we go back to this case over here. We hear in the previous Mishnah, you put chicken and cheese on the table together. Look what the Mishnah says. Eino over belo tase. So what does that strike up? When you see that Mishnah like that, it says if you put chicken and meat on the table, you aren't over a lo tase. So what do you think? But if that's when you put it on the table, it doesn't say about eating. So what do you think? And that's the Gemara's next question. Ha'och lo ve'ebe lo tase. So you're going to tell me now, but if you eat it, you're over in a lo tase. If you're over in a lo tase, I'm eating chicken and meat and cheese, then what are we saying? That chicken is? Doraita. How can you be over in a lo tase on a Durabanan? Right? That means that the chicken is Doraita. That's the Gemara's question. Shma mina basar of bechalav Doraita. How can that be? Rashi says, yeah, what's our problem? It's a soter Rabbi Akiva. Look at Rashi, yeah. Do you get the chicken writing of Ulafu came Rabbi Akiva? I'm a pratlo of Rabbi Akiva specifically said that chickens aren't in this deal. So the Gemara says, you know what? Let's just correct the Mishnah. Don't say Hamalet of Imagvina ala Shulchan Eino over. Say Hamalet of Imagvina ala Shulchan Eino Bali de Lotase. If you should, by mistake, put chicken and fish on it, chicken and meat on it, chicken and cheese on the table, you won't come to be over. In the worst case, if you had eaten it, you wouldn't come to be over a lot tase, because I need Rabbanan. And then the Mishnah's lastly fits in with Rabbi Akiva. Next Mishnah, Basar, Bahamut, Tahora. Now we're talking here about the cooking. So it goes like Basar, Bahamut, Tahora. You got kosher meat, Bechalav, Bahamut, Tahora, cooked in kosher milk. Asur levashel vasur bahana'a. Right? You can't cook an isur to cook it. I think it's the only isur in the Torah which is over on cooking, eh? I think we'll see Rashi just now in the next Amud. That's the only place where there's the isur. Most places the isur is either to get hana or to actually eat it. But the isur of actually cooking is the only place in the Torah. This is the massive chiddush of basar v'chalav. That you're already over just by putting it in the pot together and cooking it. Rabbana, in the next halacha, basar behemah tahora. These are wild Mishnah. This basar behemah tahora. You got kosher meat, bechalav behemah tameah, with not like that with camel's milk, or basar behemah tameah, non kosher meat, bechalav behemah tahora, with kosher meat. So non kosher milk. So either kosher meat with non kosher milk, or non kosher meat with kosher milk. In other words, one of the ingredients are not kosher. Mutar levashel umutar bahana. Amazing, eh? There's no issue.
Just can't eat it.
Just can't. I mean, eat it. One of it is not kosher. That's not because of this. One of the two ingredients is not kosher. Look at Rashi. Mutar levashel. Da'ein bo mishum basar v'chalav. There's no issue of basar v'chalav. Can you have a Gemara? Uba achila. Yeah, Aaron. Here's your answer. When it comes to achila, miha. It was obviously it's asher. Why mishum isut tmeya? Because either the milk is from a tamei or the meat is from a tamei, but that's pashut. But the fact that you cook them together, there's no issue here of hana'a whatsoever. If you were a non-Jewish servant and they happen to love eating that sort of food, you could cook it for them. You can buy it and you can cook it for them. Or your dog only drinks chicken in camel's milk, or Aunt Chikati camel's milk. Right?
Careful what pot you use.
Careful what pot you use. You have to have a separate pot.
The animal has to be a non-kosher animal.
That's eating it.
No,
either or, we just said. Other than milk.
No, fine. So if you have a cow
that
hasn't been shechted properly.
Right. So the Gemara says over here, it's interesting. I'm not sure how to answer that question. Because the Gemara says, Basar Behema Tahora. It doesn't say a Shchuta or not. It says a Basar Behema Tahora. So that's why I use the example of a camel. Right? I'm not sure if a Nevela of a cow would now be okay. I'm not sure. And honestly, I don't know. On the face of it, I would agree with you that it seems that you can't. Right? Basar Behema Tahora, but maybe got halacha there, anybody somewhere? Find halacha? Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chayev off eina mina Torah. He has straightforward Mefurash Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva says that Chayev off. We don't read Nafkuf Dalet. Chaya and off. Even a Chaya, says Rabbi Akiva, right? You cook a Chaya with milk. You can't eat it. Maybe you can eat it. Suppose you can eat it. Chaya and a mina Torah. A Chaya is like an off. Say it Rabbana, according to Rabbi Akiva. So this is chaya and offa, and you could eat them in theory with milk. There's no issue of meat and milk with a chaya. Good, Rabbi Akiva. Shneemar lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo gimel pa'amim. This is three times. You can't cook a goat with mother's milk. Prat lechaya ule off. Yeah, it comes. I think this is your answer, David. It says prat lechaya. It comes to exclude a chaya the first time, a chicken the second time, and a behemoth tamea the third time. Look at Rashi, behemoth tamea. Pratlof chayav behemat meh. Gedi. The first time it says gedi is pratlof. Sheina behema. Because not a behema. The second time it says gedi is pratlechaya. Sheina behema. The afa gav de chaya bichla behema. Even though sometimes it's called a behema. Atakra yitari mafkia. Because it's the extra pasuk. Here it's not. And gedi the third time. Velo et ha behema temeya. Now here comes along. Ava behema tahora. But if it's a behema tahora. The love gedi, which isn't a gedi, dafka, a goat, like a cow or a lamb. Itra behemi krai, kiriktani bebraita begemara. We'll see it's included. So it appears over here that a behema tahora, like a lamb or a cow or a bakar or tzon, would be asur, even if it wasn't shechted kashi at the moment. Right? In the question. All right. That's the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Rabbi Yossi Aglili over here has got an extra loch in the Mishnah. Lo tochlu kol nevela. The Torah tells us that you can't eat any nevela. It's in the same pasuk, by the way. You know, the Torah should be mentioned three times. This is in the Devarim part. It's mentioned in Devarim. There's a pasuk that should be over here. Yeah, if you look here, the pasuk in Devarim says, Lo tochlu kol nevela. La ger asher b'shvecha titne. Give it to the ger. V'achala o machol nochel. Give it to a goy. Because you holy to Hashem, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. So in the same pasuk there in Devarim, it says that you can't eat nevelas. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says in the same pasuk says lo tochlu nevela. V'ne'emar lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. You also can't cook a goat with his milk. So it's like this. Ve'et she'asur mishum nevela, that which you are asur because of nevela, asur levashel b'chalav. Those are what are asur to eat with milk. Off. She'asur mishum nevela. So now off, off that just died on its own, right? We should say yacholi asur levashel b'chalav. Maybe there's places in the chicken you can't cook in milk now because it's like a nevela. Talmud lomar b'chalav imo. It comes to what is b'chalav imo in its mother's milk. Therefore yatsa off she'ain lo chalav em. Its mother hasn't got milk. So the only time an animal you can't cook an animal is if its mother has got milk. The question is, how would he learn that with regards to Chaya? I don't know. But it seems like Chaya wouldn't fit in too well to this exclusion, right? Rabbi Akiva says Chaya and Off are excluded. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that Off is excluded because of the Chalav Imo. So I'm not sure how that would apply to Chaya. Where do we know this from? Look at Rashi here. Dechol behem abe mashma. Rabbi Gershom explains the question a little bit nicer than Rashi, or more clear Rashi. So the last Rabbi Gershom the Amud. Dechol basar bekli. Sorry, b'chol basar, b'chol minei chalav, asur, afal gav, delo chazinan b'kra elegdi. Where do we know that all types of meats, of all animals, are asur, even though the pasuk just mentions the goat? Let's be honest, it makes sense, right? That we just say, oh, yeah, a goat and a cow is not a problem. Excuse me. What?
Do another coffee.
What about some water, please, Michael? There's water. He said, Milani Mili, where do we know this? I'm Rabbi Elazar, I'm a cry. Vayishlach Yehuda et Gedi Ha'izim. Remember, with Tamar. So Yehuda sent with Abdullah. What was his name, that guy? Not Abdullah. I'm confused. I always call him Abdullah. What was his name? Nabi. Adulami. I always call him Abdullah. Right. Adulami. So he sent him over here. But I think even... there's a pasuk here, ve'et orot gedia zim. I think it even bring the pasuk. Ve'ishlach yuda et gedia zim be'yad re'ehu ha'adulami. There's a pasuk. Lakachat eravon miyad ha'isha ve'lo metza. So he sent, what did he send? He sent gedi izim. So the Gemara says, why did it say gedi izim? Why did it say gedi? Right, that's the Gemara's question. Kan gedi izim. So yeah, it's specifically thinking. Yeah, it's Gedi Izim. Look at Rashi. Pesach HaKatul. She Gedi Izim Izim Aya. Attached to us. So the fact that it had to specify here Izim, we see how Bekom Makom Shneemar Gedi Stam. Afilu Parav Rachel B'mashma. That's why. Gedi can mean anything. And the proof is that with Yehuda, it had to say Gedi Izim. I thought you might have thought he sent her a cow or he sent her a lamb. So Gemara said, wait a second. But Adif Mina. On the contrary, learn from that. Say like this, look at Rashi. Gzeira shava mina. Ma gedi amur kan izim, af gedi amur bebasa v'chalav izimu. Why are you going so far? Say dafke the gedi, and gedi is a gzeira shava. Here it says gedi izim, there it says lot of ashel gedi, gedi there is izim, therefore gedi always must be an izim. Right? That could have been an easy way to learn it. The Gemara says that. No. Ketiv krachinu, another pasuk. It says v'orot gedi ha'izim. Now we're going to pass again, brace it. Hilbisha al Yadav, v'al chilkat savarav. That was with Rachel, with Yaakov, right? With Rivka. Rivka and Yaakov. Right, with Rivka and Yaakov. That she dressed him up there also, with Orot Gedi Izim. Kan Gedi Izim. It says, kom shema Gedi Stam. I feel a parachel b'mashma. So the Gemara says, no, we see there. The Torah winner wants to explain Gedi Izim. It says Gedi Izim. The Gemara says the same thing. V'leilef mine. Again, why are you going so far? Say again, there's a Gzera Shavah here. Just like it said there, Gedi Izim. Gedi always means Gedi Izim. The Gemara says, no, that's a problem. Why? Because habu lehu shnei ketum labayim ke'echad. See, it's amazing. Put everything together here, right? That's a problem because we've got two psukim labayim ke'echad. If two psukim we see that Gedi Izim means Gedi Izim, that Gedi means Gedi Izim, then what are we going to create? We call shnei ketum labayim ke'echad em anamdi. You can't learn it, you can't go further. It's a limit. It meant twice, it mentioned Izim, that's it. We can't learn that Gedi means Gedi Izim any longer. So the Gemara says, Ha'nich l'manu emel amdin. That's worked, we've seen it before plenty of times, right? Ha'nich l'manu emel, that only works well with the person who says, Shnei ketubah b'ayin ke'echad emel amdin. But nobody agrees that we don't learn from two psukim, we say the same thing. And l'manu emel amdin, the guy says melamdin, so now ma'ikin ha'meimar, now how are you going to stop? Because now, according to, if we say melamdin, so we've got a good cause now to argue that whenever it says gedi, it means only gedi is him. Right? So the Gemara says, no. Trei mi'utai ketivei. There's two mi'utim here. It didn't say v'et orot gedi izim. It said v'et orot gedi ha'izim. Right? So there are two mi'utim here. Izim and ha'izim. Look at Rabbi Gershom there for a second. In both psukim, it could have been said et gedei izim, right? Lama katav haizim. Why did it write haizim in both the psukim, both with regards to Yaakov and with regards to Yehuda? Kan izim, aber makom acher shneimar gedi stam afilu parav rachel. Tell us, it's a gedi ha'izim. This place is izim. Everywhere else, it isn't. I'm a Shmuel. Now, Shmuel knew halacha. Shmuel says, gedi rabotin ha'chelef. Now, he says a couple of things. The Torah tells us, lo toshel gedi b'chelefim more three times. Right? He lists that. Actually, write them out. Look, just make it a little bit easier to follow in the list. Right? So he says like this. He says, Shmuel says like this. What do we learn from this halacha? He says, Gedi rabot in a chaylev. Gedi comes to include the chaylev. Now, what's the chaylev doing? Look at Rashi. She'im bishel chaylev b'chala v'achlo. If you just cook the chaylev of the animal, which is an issue on its own, right? It's an issue of the chaylev. You took the chaylev, you cooked with milk. And you ate it. Over mishum chaylev, or mishum basa v'chalev. You over on two isurim. What's the question? Obvious question. We should be asking ourselves now. Ain. Ain isur chalisu. Right. How can it be? The two isurim. How can the chal one and the other? We don't ain isur chalisu. Next question. Next d is the rabot et hameta to include the meitok rashi. Yeah. Shim bishel basar nevela. Early on, but David's question of a kosher animal that was in a veil, right? Uva'achlo, over mishum basa v'chalav. Afal gav de ba'alma en isur chalal isur. See, Rashi says that. Even though normally he says isur chalal isur. V'kan aray kadmu isur chaylev isur neveil. Yeah, wow, remember the word as well. He, why are we saying yeah, isur is chalal isur? Because the isur of chaylev came before the isur basa v'chalav, it was really asur. And the isur of meita came before isur of basa v'chalav, it was really asur. So now you take two isur which were pre-existing, put them together, the isur will work one on top of the other. Next thing that Shmuel says, Gedi, the third time mentions Gedi, Rabot in a Shalil. What's the Shalil? So look at the Rashi down the bottom there. He says, the Shalil is a Ben Teisha Chai Shanim Tzav Bahema. So it's a Ben Pkua that's really fully grown. Remember, according to Rabbi Meir, you had to have an own Shchita. Remember that? A Ben Teisha Chai, etc. If you found the Shalil, took the Shalil and you cooked it separately. So next Gedi says, Rabbi Shmuel, Lohotziat Adam, to come and tell us about Dam. Lohotziat Adam. Right? In other words, that dam over here is not an asur. The blood and milk is not an issue of basar v'chalav. Lohotzi, not a rabot. Up until now we had gedil rabot and achedev, gedil rabot and ameita, rabot and ashalil. That they are in the issue of basar v'chalav. Gedil lohotzi et adam. That is not in the issue of basar v'chalav. Next says gedil again, so that's gedil three times, four times. Gedil lohotzi et ashilia. That the shilia. Now what's the shilia? Look at Rashi. Shilia is like the sac, the placenta. Vukamin lavusha avlad shochev betocha v'korin v'shtidor. We saw that the placenta. Right? And the sixth one, he says, gedi lotzi et atmeya. Right? If you've got a tmeya, look at Rashi there, basar behemet tmeya, shebishel afilu b'chalav behemet tohora. When we saw that in the Mishnah, that would be muta. Right? Is that issue on that? So there's 100% right. That's the nevela seems to be of a kosher animal, and therefore it would be asur. Right. Next, it carries on. Bechalav. So that's from Lotav Hashel Gedi. The word Gedi. Now bechalav imo. He says, what's chalav imo? Three halachos from here. Velo bechalav zachar, and not from the milk of a male. Now, how can you ask yourself? How can a male have milk? So Rashi asked himself this question. Look at Rashi. Yeah. ולא בחלב זכר. זה שהיה לו חלב מועט מן הדדים. Listen to the interesting Rashi this. He had a bit of milk in his udders, this male cow. כגון אם נשתנה והיו לו דדים. Originally it started off being born as a female cow. And what do you call it? It metamorphosed into some sort of, into a male cow. But there were remnants. Look at Rabbi Gershom. Rabbi Gershom says, he says, yeah. Klomar Shim Bish Velo Khalav Zakha. Look at the Gershom there. Name the Tosfot there of Vishani Hacha. He says, Sheyesh lo Khalav Ma'at. But look at this. Vechein He'idu Lefaneinu Shira'u Khalav Bezakhar. He says, we've got proof. People have given Eidut. That there are males with some milk in it. Okay, let's go.
It says Sishach and Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, whether there is a rabbinic prohibition against cooking meat with milk of a male.
And what? It doesn't even
say what it is. It says see.
Okay, well Shmuel says that it is velo b'chalav zachar, that isn't an issue, so mafia de rabbana.
Right.
But it's definitely not a deraita, right? Okay.
The male cows have others.
Other cows have others. I don't know. I don't know. But the Rabbanan Gershon says that they were Eidut, right? That they saw this. B'chalav Yimor, next time, another limud of B'chalav Yimor says, V'lo B'chalav Shchuta. What does it mean B'chalav Shchuta? He has a little bit complicated. Don't in the shechted cow. What does it mean? B'lo B'chalav, Rashi says, V'lo B'chalav Shchuta De'imo. Of its mother, the mashma haruya liot aim, velo mishen nishchata. I don't understand that Rashi, but if you look at Rabbi Gershom, Rabbi Gershom is more understandable. Look at Rabbi Gershom there, b'chalav shchuta, klomar, shehotziu min adadim chalav le'achar shen nishchata. In other words, it's the cow being cooked in its own milk that you took out after you had shechted it. So you shechted this cow, and then there was milk in its udders. That's how I understand Rabbi Gershom, yeah? And you shechted in its own milk. Okay, so now it wouldn't be Isur either. It could be b'chalav imo, not its milk. Right? That's what he's saying.
Imo doesn't have to mean its own mother. Could be
not his own mother, but a mother. And this wasn't a mother. Right? B'chalav imo, b'chalav b'chalav t'meya. B'chalav imo, here, look at Rashi over here. I know, you know what this Rashi is saying? This previous Rashi, b'chalav imo, v'lo b'chalav shchuta. The imo mashma haruya lihiyot aim. In other words, it has to be a cow that could have been a mother. Right? In other words, it was ra'ui to have been a mother. In other words, maybe v'lo mishenishchata. Once it was killed, it can't be a mother anymore. So it has to be milk from a live animal, not from a dead animal. Right? That's what Rashi said. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it right there? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I just suddenly, the Rashi said this, what made sense. Okay. V'lo, okay, thank you. V'chalav imo. The next case of Yabakhalavi
Mo. So you can cook it in its own milk?
So in its own milk would be okay. I mean, not, maybe also there probably is a Durabana, but there's no Isu Doraita. It has to be a cow that can be a mother. Once it's dead, it can't be a mother unless you clone.
Maybe the can also be the logic would have been, it can't be your own mother, so you should be
able to. Well, that's what I thought. That's how I understood Rabbi Gershom.
If you take milk out of a dead cow's udder and cook it with meat, would it be a violation?
Doraita, yeah.
It's Rabbana.
I keep on forgetting. I apologize. I'm blowing my nose into this microphone. I apologize. Ah, this is what a mess. Anyhow. All right, let's carry on. So now, the Gemara's like this. Okay, but wait a second now. We learned, look here, from the Gedi, we learned Chelev, Meita, Shlil, 3, Dam, blood, Shilia, the placenta, 5, and Tmeya, 6. So the Gemara says, Ha klata Gedi ketive. Yishmuel told us 6 things here from Gedi. But Gedi's only mentioned 3 times. Va'aran shita da shita, look at 6 limudim. So he said, look at this, he said like this. Kasava Shmuel, so Shmuel says like this. Number 1, his principle is Isur Chalal Isur. So therefore, I don't really need psukim for everything, right? Isur chalal isur. Look at Rashi. Isur chalal isur. Ani shamati. Rashi says, yeah. The garis lei v'hachi perusho. Rashi says that I underheard that the Gemara should say v'hachi perusho. This is Shmuel's answer. Isur chalal isur v'lo itzrich kra. We don't need a pasuk. Lo lechaylev lo lemeita, because chaylev already in isur exists. Meita is really Isur that exists. Therefore, it's Pashut. If Isur Chalal Isur, then if is the Isur Chalal, then Isur Chalal Mimuk. You with me? We don't need an Isur. We don't need a Pasuk. So therefore, we've taken out from our 6 examples, Chalal and Meita are gone. We have no longer got a Pasuk for that. Right? So Isur Chalal Isur, the Isur Chalal and Meita Michal Kranafka. Then, Dam Nami Lo Gedihu, blood also doesn't come from Gedi. Not a gedi, so we only need basically pasuk for that. It's pasuk, not a gedi. Vashilya nami, and the placenta also pirsha b'almu. It's just basically like remnants. It's pirsha, just like stuff that the body pushed out. It's also not really food. So now there we take out chaylev and meita, take out shalil, take out tmeya. Really got 2 isurim here learned from gedi, right? And what is that? That is, he says, Pashu, they are true. A trade, 2. Chadra aboted a shalil. We've got the shalil, not the shil. Hold on a second.
Right, it's the shalil, the fetus, not the shilia.
Not the shilia. Ah, thank you. The shalil, the fetus. V'chad, le me'utei behemet meya. She's not a behemet meya. Okay, so there the Gemara, so now we basically relax now again. There aren't six out of the three. There's really two out of the three plus the third. So one pasuk tells us chareb meita, gedi. One tells us shalil, and one tells us tmeya. So that's gedi, gedi, gedi. That's fine. Dam and shilia don't apply. They aren't really relevant. So therefore, they fall aside. So the Gemara says, v'saba Shmuel isu chalal isu. And are you going to tell me now that isu chalal isu? Because remember, Shmuel's whole principle is that the chareb and the meita are because isu chalal isu. So we don't need psukim for each one of them. Baba Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah Shas changes Elazar to Rabbi Eliezer. Minayin the Kohen Tamei. Stick around for 1 second because there's a hell of a nice Rashi coming up here. Okay, if you don't read it, read this Rashi here. Hadi Rabbi. Okay, Rashi says an amazing thing there about when he calls him his Rav. How he became his Rav. Nice Rashi. Okay, so like, look here. He says Baba Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Minayin the Kohen Tamei Shachal Truma Tamei. She'enu b'mita. Now we learned actually in this week's parsha, by the way. It's in this week's parsha in Tzav, right? About there's a difference between a kohen tamei that eats truma betara or tame truma, or a kohen tahor that eats truma tameya or kodesh tamei, right? They're different. If you a tahor, a kohen tahor, and you eat truma, which is tamei, so look at Rashi over here. You know, there's a hell of a long Rashi. I'm never going to skip out this Rashi. Rabbi Gershom, look at Rabbi Gershom here quickly. Ma'ala Kohen Tameh. See that Rabbi Gershom there? It's about just the beginning of the last third. Minayin the Kohen Tameh, Shachal Trumet Tameya. What does it mean, yeah? Klomar im lo haya Tameh. If the Kohen wasn't Tameh, if it was a Kohen Tahor, Vachal Trumet Tameya. Over belav is over in the lo tase. Kadesh chayim abasa she yigah b'chol tamei lo yochal. The chayim betruma. Va'achshav ki nitma. Now he is tamei. I isur chalal isur leite isur mitter velechul al isur lav. Now if the kohen right wasn't tamei, he was a tahor and he ate truma which was tamei. Right. See, if he was a tahor eating tamei, it's over in the lav. If he was a tamei and he ate tahora, is chayiv. Correct. You with me? That's mitzvah b'dei shamay. Well, the Gemara calls it here mitzvah b'dei shamay. He calls it over here. I know that we the pasuk says karet, but he says over here. He says leiti isur mita veleichula isur lav. So he calls the karet here isur mita. See that? But it's not mitzvah b'dei Adam. That's what I'm saying. It's not a beitin mitzvah. It's a mitzvah b'dei Shamai. So it's a karet, okay? Pasuk is karet. So he says over here, and yet we see she'ein tzanah minayin l'kohen tameh shachal truma tameya she'ein mitzvah. See, he says ein mitzvah, man. The Gemara says mitzvah. I agree with you. Right? Well, the Gemara calls it mitzvah. So in your version of your Gemara in Hagahot Meni, we'll change that mitzvah. We'll put there, we'll add to the Mishnah Shas, like a curly brackets, and we'll change that mitzvah to Ein Olam Haba. Sheenu mitzvah. Sheneemar umeitu bo ki yechalelu. The pasuk says here as well, ki meitu bo. He's chayv mitzvah, right? So maybe he is chayv mitzvah, yeah. Maybe it's not correct. Now I'm maybe getting confused. Any note there quickly? What is that mitzvah quickly? Tell me. I also thought it was karet, because in this week's parasha we spoke about the kohen that said karet. Yeah, Rashi made to bore. Rashi said, "Yeah, bochel truma betumat gufo ketiv dahal el minay ketiv ish ish mizera." Okay. So anyhow. Mitam b'deshemal. Okay, that's right. Mitam b'deshemal. That's almost good. Okay. Mitam b'deshemal. Shneimar ubeitu bo ki chalelu. Right. So now we see over here that he doesn't say that if he was tamei any ate truma isu chalal isu. According to Chal Yisud, they should all come together. And yeah, we say no. Prat, the Gemara says, Mani Bochala, Prat Leze, Shem Becholev Omeret. So now the Gemara has a couple of answers. Ibad Eimer Ba'alme Yisru Chal Yisru V'shani Hata. Maybe you're right. Maybe, as a rule, Shmuel says, there is Yisru Chal Yisru. Just there, in that particular pasuk of the Kohen, there it's different. Why? Demi'et Rachmana Umeitu Bo. Because the pasuk specifically says, Umeitu Bo. Right? It was only when he was a Tahor eating Tamei. But otherwise he wouldn't be, and that's why it's an exception. Ibait Aimra, third answer is Baal Mekasama Shmuel ain't Isu Chal Isu. That is a rule. Shmuel says there isn't Isu Chal Isu. Vashani Hach, in our case, is an exception that it does work. The Rabbi Rachmana Gedi, because it says Gedi three times. That's a one possibility. Second possibility. Ibait Aimra. Hadi Day Hadi Rabbi. You're right, there's no stira. The one time in Shmuel seems to imply that there is Isruch al-Isur, it's him, and when he says it isn't, it's his Rev, Rabbi, all the other way around. Right? Look at this Rashi, I thought this was quite fascinating. This Rashi, Hadar Rabbi. Who's his Rabbi? He says Rabbi Eliezer. Right, that was the case of Hamash Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. So there, in the case of the Kohen, sorry, the Kohen would be the case of his Rebbe, and he would say that there is Chalalisu. Right. Look at Rashi here, Hadar Rabbi. Rabbi Eliezer, Shamar Le'el, Shmuel Mishmo. Now look at Rashi, says an amazing thing. V'chol heiche diktani Mishum Ploni. Whenever we learn that someone says something in the name of somebody else, right? He says Mishum Ploni, he says Hamash Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. See the word Mishum, you see that? In the Gemara it says, "V'ha'amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer." It didn't say, "Ha'amar Shmuel, Amar Rabbi Eliezer." It said, "Amar Shmuel, Mishum." Rashi says, that word, Mishum, is a code word. It's amazing this, right? A code word. What does it mean? Lo shama mipiv. He never actually heard it directly from him. Ela mipi acherim. It's from others, she'amru mipiv, who said it in his name. Well, Shmuel, he says, Lora a et Rebbe Eliezer miyamav. Shmuel never saw Rebbe Eliezer. Why? Rebbe Eliezer bechurban ayar. Rebbe Eliezer lived during the time of the Churban. It was like Rebbe Yakiva's period. And we're going to get it, Daf Nunvav. Mi Talmidei Rabbanan Yochanan min Zaka. And that was Rebbe Eliezer. He was Rebbe Yochanan Zaka's Talmidim. Well, Shmuel, mi Dorot ha'achronim. Shmuel came a much later generation. Besof Shnotav de Rebbe. He lived at the end of Rebbe's life. So there was no ways that Shmuel could have seen Rebbe Eliezer. So how can he be his Rebbe? So Rashi says the word Mishum, huh? It's amazing. Every time we see now the word Mishum, we know that Mishum means he didn't see it, learn it from me, but he learned it from somebody else. Okay, let's carry on. I thought it was asked. Bye, Rav Achtavoyi Bar Amimirav. New question. Hamavashel be Chalev Gedi Shelo Henika. Mach Bechalav Gedi, sorry. Hamavashel be Chalav Gedi Shelo Henika Mahu. Remember, we spoke the other day that milk only comes from an animal who falls pregnant. Remember, we discussed this, right? That even an animal like a human being doesn't just have milk. They have to be pregnant to have milk, and they have breastfeed to have milk. So now we spoke about that it has to be ba'emi more. Remember, we said it has to be able to be a mother. The question is, did it have to have been a mother? That's the Gemara's question. Was it had milk, but it never actually ever breastfed another animal, mahu. So Amarle. Mid itzricha l'Shmuel l'meimar b'chalav imo b'chalav zachar. The fact that Shmuel said specifically the issue is b'chalav with the mother, not the male's milk. Zachar hu delo ati lichlal ein. Is it only a male which can never become a mother? Aval hai, but this one kevan debar lichlal ein. It can become a mother, even though it itself has never actually been a mother. It still be asur, or not? That's the question, right? Got the question? Does a cow have to have been a mother, or only have to be able to have the potential to be a mother? Right? That's the question. So, Ikmar, got a machloket here. Amavashel chaylev b'chalav. Right? If you cook chaylev with milk, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asma, those are the Amorai from Eretz Yisrael who were Kohan. Remember, we learned this before, we've seen it before many times, right? Chal amar loke, v'chal amar. Derech agav, the Gemara seemed to end off with an answer on that one. Maybe, okay. So now he says like this. Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Loke. One says you get Malkot if you cook Chalev with Malkot. You don't get Malkot. This is a Malkot. Demand Amal Loke. One says you get Malkot. He says, Kasav Isur Chalal Isur. He says, there is an Isur of Chalev, Chal Isur of Basar B'Chalav, and if you get Malkot. Manam El Loke says, Ain Isur Chalal Isur. He says, no, that's not the Malkot. The Kula Alma Ain Isur Chalal Isur. Everyone agrees that no Isur Chalal Isur. And what's the Malkot? Rabbi Achila. Here the question is, are you over on eating the basar b'chalav? The kula amelo pligi de lo laki. Right? There, everybody agrees, if you actually ate it, you wouldn't get malkot. Ki pligi abishu. Right? If you cooked it, would you get malkot? Manda amaloke chadisuruhu. Umanda eloke lahachi afkerach man lachir b'lashon bishu. Let's carry on with this tomorrow.